If we're able to keep that passage open, I'm just going to put a few things up here. With no expense has been spared on this. And all my sellotape is sticking to each other. There we go. So just, and the things I'm putting up on here are just things that, like things that maybe have happened to you at Christmas, that you've experienced at Christmas. And I want you to think as you see them as to what is the most important, which you think, how would you rank these in importance? Nothing you need to, you know, tell your neighbour or shout out loud. I just want you to have a think. So these are various different things that have occurred at Christmas time. I might just hold this one because the sellotape's just perished. So basically, so this one I've got here is time off. So here's the best thing about Christmas, maybe been time off from work, from school, from just, I guess, the normal day to day. Has it been TV? There's been, you know, festive times, normally chance for, you know, old TV shows to get their specials out or Christmas films, you know, so maybe that's it. Maybe the best thing has been coming to think about Jesus coming into the world. We've got family, seeing family. Obviously, for a lot of people, times, this is the best time of year to see your family. And lastly, presents. So just I guess, have a think internally and being honest with yourself. What do you say is the most important thing for you this Christmas? I mean, I know, obviously, I'm not going to get everyone to say it out loud because I think there might be pressure to saying what people feel is the right answer rather than what they really think. But obviously, these are all things that around Christmas time we experience. And I wonder what you would say is the most important thing. Now, and I want you to hold that thought because we're going to come back to it as we kind of look through this passage. Because I want us to think, because in the passage we had read, I think we see three reactions to Christmas time, to the coming of Jesus. We see three reactions. We're going to look at the two wrong responses and one right response. So we're going to look at the two wrong responses and then look quickly at the right response. So the first thing we've got is Herod's reaction. So if you have your Bibles open, if you look, the Magi have come, and they've come looking for Jesus, and then we look at verse 3 and we see Herod. It says, when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod is frightened. So the Magi have come to worship the King of the Jews. This is a king who could rival Herod, someone who might be more important than Herod. They're a threat to his kingship, and Herod is afraid. He doesn't want to bow down to any other king. And by the sounds of verse 3, neither do the people of Jerusalem. We've got fear and loathing in Jerusalem. They're afraid of him. And then actually for Herod, that turns to hate. We didn't read it, but later on, Herod tries to destroy this king. He kills all the infants in Bethlehem to try and destroy Jesus. Now, I'm sure not many people would approve of that. But actually, I think Herod represents one attitude towards Jesus that many share: fear and loathing. So Jesus coming into the world as a savior implies that we need saving. And for some, well, that's a deeply offensive message. Because it implies that we can't manage on our own, that we're helpless and we need rescuing. And for some, that message is hard to take because, well, they trust in their own goodness or maybe their religiousness for being right with God. So for Jesus coming to hear they need a savior is deeply offensive. And so that is one reaction to Jesus, like Herod: fear and loathing. Maybe we have friends and family who react like this, or maybe some people here. That's our reaction to the coming of Jesus. So that's the first one, fear and loathing. But the second one, I think, is probably more what this is getting at. The second reaction, is head knowledge without heart knowledge. So I want us to just quickly read, and I want us to pay attention to something that there's something that I never used to spot in this passage. We're going to look at 3 to 6 again. So it says, when King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, and you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Well, the chief priests and scribes, they know their Bibles, don't they? When asked where the Messiah would be born, they know the right answer. They quote Micah from the Old Testament. But did you notice something? What they don't do is they don't go and look for themselves. They have absolutely no interest in checking it out for themselves. They have head knowledge, but they don't care. So I want you to imagine. Imagine someone comes up to you now and just says, oh, do you know where High Pointon is? I've heard the most amazing thing in the whole wide world, in the whole creation. Now, I'm not going to say what the thing that is because that'll be different for different people. It's happening up in High Pointon right now. You wouldn't go, well, thanks. Good job. I do know where it is. It's up Park Lane. You can follow it around. Follow around to the right. Can't miss it. You wouldn't do that, would you? You'd go, let me take you there. Because if the most amazing thing in the whole wide world was happening, we'd want to be there too. But the chief priests, they just go, yes, Bethlehem, save it there. As if like they've absolutely no interest. They have head knowledge and no heart knowledge. Now, I just wonder if perhaps we're in danger of that sort of attitude. We believe Jesus came into the world, but does that really affect us? So especially as we come to Christmas time, it's easy actually for Jesus to have just been pushed to the sidelines. Because actually, we've got busy, we've got loads of family coming and it's really hard getting them. Or we've got to find that perfect present for family. And so actually we find, we come to church because, we feel we should, but actually our minds aren't there. We can easily have this head knowledge without heart knowledge. But finally, let's look at the right response. Joy and worship. So again, looking at verses 10 to 12, this is the Magi. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So on finding Jesus, the Magi are overwhelmed with joy. They worship Jesus, and they bring him valuable gifts. Gifts fit for a king. He's so important to them. They've traveled far to see him. And when they find him, he's their sole focus, their joy, and their worship. They bow down to him, it says. The contrast couldn't be starker between these Gentiles who recognize how important Jesus is to the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, knowing the answers, but not really going themselves. Now, I just wonder with us, have we stopped this Christmas just to praise God for sending Jesus into the world to rescue us from sin and destruction? Has he been our joy and our worship? The most important thing for us this Christmas? Well, I know that for me, I've struggled to keep Jesus in focus at Christmas time because there's so many things fighting for my attention. That I can easily be like the chief priest. I can know the facts. If you gave me a quiz on the Christmas story, I'd come top. But I'm not coming to Jesus with joy and with worship. Jesus has come to rescue us. Let's pray that we would have the same mindset as the Magi. That we would recognize Jesus for who he is. And that we would respond rightly, offering him praise and worship. Not just with our mouths, but with our lives too. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for sending your Son into the world. We thank you for Christmas when we can remember that we are rescued, that you have come in as to save us from our sins. Praise you. Lord, please forgive us when actually we've almost let things go through the motions and we've responded like the chief priest, knowing the facts, but nothing's going on in our hearts. Please, would we into the new year, would you be our joy and our worship? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.